Section 1, Chapter 6. The Hour of the Decisive Battle Between Our Lady and the Devil. The Prediction of the Great Apostasy, the Prophecy of Grave Shortcomings of the Pastors of the Church, these are undoubtedly two essential themes of the final secret of Fatima. Although, with lesser certainty, we can discern a third theme of the redoubtable secret, numerous indications, which are astonishingly convergent, lead us to think that this terrible crisis of the Church and this failure of its supreme leaders, which has no comparable precedent in its 2,000-year history, are situated by the secret in a wider context, that of the supreme confrontation between the City of God and the Synagogue of Satan, the decisive battle between the Virgin and the Devil. To repeat Sister Lucy's expression. Sister Lucy's disclosures to Father Fuentes. Clearly, since it belongs to the hierarchy to reveal the great secret, and not to her directly, we can be sure that Sister Lucy has been faithful to the orders of silence given to her by her superiors. She has not revealed the very text of the secret to anybody. However, nothing prevents her from discreetly mentioning, as a personal reflection, this or that revelation which is important and greatly salutary for souls, and belongs in reality to the secret which has not been disclosed. She had already done so in her first two memoirs for the first parts of the secret, even before she was officially permitted to reveal them. Thus in her conversation with Father Fuentes, she brings up several new themes, which are undoubtedly so many veiled allusions to various elements of the third secret. Lucy explains, "The Most Holy Virgin made me understand that we are living in the last times of the world, those of the great apocalyptic battle between the Blessed Virgin and the Devil. She told me that the devil is in the process of engaging in a decisive battle against the Blessed Virgin, and a decisive battle is the final battle where one side will be victorious and the other side will suffer defeat. Hence from now on we must choose sides. Either we are for God or we are for the devil. There is no other possibility." Even more notable is the fact that she unmasks the satanic plan which consists in attacking first the pastors, all those who in some way are entrusted with souls. The devil is in the process of engaging in a decisive battle with the Virgin. And the devil knows what it is that most offends God and which in a short space of time will gain for him the greatest number of souls. Thus the devil does everything to overcome souls consecrated to God because, in this way, the devil will succeed in leaving the souls of the faithful abandoned by their leaders, and thereby the more easily will he seize them. To overcome souls consecrated to God. Could anybody see with greater precision the drama of the years following 1960, when by the hundreds, by the thousands and tens of thousands, priests, religious, nuns, and even bishops and cardinals, to say nothing here of the popes themselves, betrayed the cause of God, and his one, true church? This they did either by leaving it with scandal, or by infiltrating to the highest posts, where they continue destroying the true faith, either by criminally refusing to defend dogmas against errors springing up in a way never seen before, or by openly preaching heresy. There, they work to make true charity die in souls, and to extinguish their supernatural hope in favor of their Masonic and diabolical substitutes, the promotion of the rights of man, faith in man and the cult of man. In this dramatic struggle which has been predicted, it is stupefying that Lucy does not indicate, as the primary remedy, to follow with docility the recommendations of church leaders in all things. No, on the contrary, she warns us that for the essentials they will not speak. We should not wait for an appeal to the world to come from Rome on the part of the Holy Father, to do penance. Nor should we wait for the call to penance to come from our bishops in our diocese, nor from the religious congregations. No. Would this opinion be comprehensible in the case of a fervent, faithful hierarchy, fully docile to heaven's inspirations? And especially in the case of 1957, when Catholics still had their eyes turned towards Rome with unlimited confidence, to eagerly receive from it orders, directives, and exhortations in every area? It seems, on the contrary, that Sister Lucy is speaking to a flock abandoned to itself, and as it were abandoned by its shepherds. That is why now, it is necessary for each one of us to begin to reform himself spiritually. Each person must not only save his own soul but also all the souls that God has placed on our path. Since we must undertake this reform by ourselves, this is tantamount to saying that a time would come when the pastors, in very great number, would no longer preach the true reform of the people and clergy demanded by heaven to turn away minds and hearts from the errors and snares of the world, and turn them back to God by the gentle, powerful mediation of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. No, the pastors of the church would not pay attention to the message of the Immaculate One, they would not preach to the people, or only a negligible number would preach, the so simple requests and wonderful promises of Our Lady of Fatima, proposed by heaven as the only effective means of warding off the terrible divine chastisements that threaten our apostate age. Sister Lucy, invisible. These words were so strong, so striking, that they aroused the violent reaction of the Chancery of Coimbra, which on July 2, 1959, published the official note we have quoted. We will not return to this regrettable affair. But Sister Lucy, like Father Fuentes, underwent the consequences. From then on, she was bound to a much more rigorous silence on everything concerning Fatima, and especially the great themes of the secret. At this time, also, doubts began being expressed publicly about the value of her declarations. Undoubtedly around this period, the Mother Prioress of the Carmel of Coimbra wrote to Father Meches Diaz Coelho. The mission of Sister Lucy of the Immaculate Heart was to transmit Our Lady's message. She has done this magnificently. Do not ask her, however, to interpret what she has written or said. Ask this of the theologians, ask the hierarchy and the apostles of Fatima, whom the Holy Spirit raises up when and where He wills. Ubivolt. As we have seen, in its note of July 2, 1959, the Chancery of Coimbra declared authoritatively that Sister Lucy has nothing more to say on Fatima. It also became increasingly difficult to see her, and for years no more of her writings were published. Her testimony was becoming bothersome. In 1962, Maria de Freitas remarked that more and more, visits to Sister Lucy are forbidden, more and more she is becoming invisible. Too, a diabolical wave is sweeping over the world. However, we have a series of precious documents allowing us to understand the seer's thoughts on the present crisis of the Church. On May 13, 1971, Bishop Venancio gave the imprimatur to some letters of Sister Lucy written from 1969 to 1971. They were published in 1973 by Father Martins dos Reis in Uma Vida e o Servico de Fatima. Unfortunately, the author only gives us excerpts, and the three which were reprinted at length could be only because they dealt solely with a very precise question, the recitation of the Rosary. Father Martins dos Reis presents them under the title, A Little Treatise on the Nature and Recitation of the Rosary. Some progressive theologians had conducted a campaign against the Rosary, always rehashing the same hackneyed grievances. The monotonous recitation of ready-made formulas is no longer in accord with the modem mentality, after the council, the rosary is outdated, etc. Several reviews and journals reacted vigorously, organizing a counter-campaign to exalt the beauty and utility of the rosary, and even to ask the Portuguese bishops to request of Rome its recognition as an official prayer of the Church. The excerpts from Sister Lucy's letters must be situated in this context. Reserving for our next volume the seer's very beautiful and rich teaching on the Rosary, we give here only the passages dealing with the crisis of the Church, which moreover are very numerous, manifesting a constant preoccupation. This disorientation is diabolical. Sister Lucy has three nephews who are priests, Father José Valenho, a Salesian, Father Manuel Pereira, a Jesuit, and Father Thome dos Santos Pereira, a Claretien. She wrote to one of them on December 29, 1969. What some disoriented souls have spread against recitation of the Rosary is false. The light of the sun is older than the recitation of the Rosary, and they don't want to stop benefiting from its brightness. The Psalms are more ancient, and they too, like the prayers that make up the Rosary, are part of the sacred liturgy. The repetition of the Ave Maria, Pater Noster, and Gloria Patri is the chain that lifts us right up to God and unites us to Him, giving us a participation in His divine life, just as eating bite after bite of bread, from which we nourish ourselves, sustains the natural life in us. Nobody calls that outdated. This disorientation is diabolical. Do not let yourself be deceived. Our Lady wanted to arm us in advance against this period of the diabolical campaign. To another of her priest nephews, Sister Lucy writes on April 4, 1970. May your apostolate, like that of all our missionary brothers and sisters, be for souls the light of faith which guides them on the way of truth, hope and love. This light which the Lord speaks to us about in His Gospel, you are the light of the world, and the salt of the earth. It is necessary, for this purpose, not to be led by the doctrines of disoriented disputants. The campaign is diabolical. We must stand up to it, without placing ourselves in conflict. We must tell souls that, now more than ever, we must pray for ourselves and for those who are against us. We must recite the Rosary every day. This is the prayer which Our Lady recommended the most, as if to arm us in advance, foreseeing these days of diabolical campaign. The devil knows that we shall save ourselves through prayer. Hence he leads his campaign against it to destroy us. Now that the month of May is about to begin, recite the Rosary every day. Do not be afraid to expose the Blessed Sacrament and recite the Rosary in his presence. It is false to say that this is not liturgical, because the prayers of the Rosary are all part of the sacred liturgy, and if they are not displeasing to God when we recite them as we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice, so also they do not displease Him if we recite them in His presence, when He is exposed for our adoration. On the contrary, this is the prayer which is the most pleasing to Him, because through it we praise Him the best. Why would the prayer which God taught us and so much recommended to us be outdated? It is easy to recognize here the ruse of the devil and his followers, who want to lead souls away from God by leading them away from prayer. Do not let yourselves be deceived. Enlighten the souls entrusted to you, and recite the Rosary with them every day. Say it in the church, in the streets, on the roads and in public squares. If it is possible for you, go through the streets praying and singing the Rosary with the people, and finish in the church by giving benediction with the Blessed Sacrament. Do this in the spirit of prayer and penance to ask for peace for the Church, for our provinces beyond the sea, and for the world. I am certain that if you made an appeal in this sense, souls would gladly follow, because the sheep follow their pastor when he knows how to guide them and lead them on the good road. In such a few words, it seems difficult to make this many remarks and requests so contrary to the new religion. The diabolical wave sweeping over the world. On April 13, 1971, Sister Lucy wrote to her Salesian nephew, Father José Vallejo. I see by your letter that you are preoccupied by the disorientation of our time. It is indeed sad that so many persons let themselves be dominated by the diabolical wave sweeping over the world, and that they are blinded to the point of being incapable of seeing error. Their principal fault is that they have abandoned prayer, thus they have left God, and without God they have nothing, without me, you can do nothing. The devil is very clever and looks for our weak points so as to attack us. If we are not diligent and attentive in obtaining strength from God, we will fall, for our times are very evil and we are weak. Only the strength of God can keep us standing. This is a diabolical disorientation invading the world and misleading souls. Two letters, quoted in extenso by Father Martins dos Reis, were written at the same time and addressed to a friend, Dona Maria Teresa da Cunha, who was zealously involved in the defense of Marian devotion, and undoubtedly would have liked to claim the official approval of the Fatima seer. In the name of her superior who was too busy, Sister Lucy answered on April 12, 1970. Our mother cannot give the permission which you desire. But it is also unnecessary. I am neither obliged nor able to come out openly. I must remain in silence, in prayer, and in penance. In this way I can and must help you the most. It is necessary that every apostolate have this foundation as its basis, and such is the part the Lord has chosen for me, to pray and sacrifice myself for those who struggle and work in the Lord's vineyard and for the extension of His kingdom. Sister Lucy is clearly conscious of her own vocation. It is not her role to struggle or engage in polemics, but to pray and sacrifice herself for those who do. However, this vocation of constant silence and penance does not prevent her from passing a precise, firm judgment on the period in which we are living. She comes back to this point unceasingly, and speaking of the rosary or prayer, which are the themes she is permitted to talk about, she widely extends the import of her judgment. Let us remark that it would be astonishing for such a humble soul to draw, purely from her own thinking, such grave considerations on the present situation of the Church and the world. Just as after January 25, 1938, when she announced the imminent peril of the World War, she was in fact relying on the prophecy of the great secret not yet divulged, we may think that today, when she speaks so insistently about the diabolical disorientation invading the world, she is merely repeating a theme of the third secret, without saying so. People must recite the rosary every day. Our Lady repeated this in all her apparitions, as if to arm us in advance against these times of diabolical disorientation, so that we would not let ourselves be fooled by false doctrines, and that through prayer, the elevation of our soul to God would not be diminished. Further on, she expresses another key idea, to which she often returns, the responsibility of leaders. Unfortunately, in religious matters, the people for the most part are ignorant, and follow wherever they are led. Hence the great responsibility of those who have the duty of leading them, here, curiously, as in several other places, on the same subject, Sister Lucy's thinking is brusquely cut short. When she spoke of church authorities, as though she were afraid of having said too much, she immediately extends her remark to all the faithful, and we are all leaders of one another, for we all have the duty of mutually helping each other to walk on the good road. Further on, there is a new polemical point against those who, in the name of Christ the only mediator, reject prayer to the Blessed Virgin. In the same place where Father Martins dos Reis, in his commentary, sees only the elucubrations of certain half-baked theologians, Sister Lucy makes an all-embracing judgment. This is a diabolical disorientation invading the world and misleading souls. It is necessary to stand up to it, and for this purpose you can use what I tell you here, but as something coming from you, without saying my name. And, staying in my place, I pray for you and for all those who work with you. And she goes on to recall the three great intentions, which correspond to the three great parts of the secret, the salvation of souls, the peace of Holy Church, and peace in the world, especially for Portugal and its provinces beyond the sea. The intrepid audacity of the devil's supporters. A letter of May 29, 1970, addressed to the same person, attests to the constancy and fervour with which Sister Lucy continues praying for the Pope, as Jacinta had done. I answer your letter on the anniversary of the Holy Father's ordination. Today, everything is for His Holiness. May Our Lady be the messenger of our poor and humble prayers. Sister Lucy continues, no doubt referring to articles in progressive journals which her friend had sent her. She refutes the liberalism and false modern charity, according to which, in principle, even the most dangerous innovators are always animated by the purest intentions, and in their own way, work for the good of the Church. We see how the supporters of the devil work for evil, and how they fear nothing, neither remaining badly placed, nor getting lost. They always go forward with intrepid audacity. And would we alone act with cowardice? Is God less powerful than the devil? It is necessary to go forward without fear and without trepidation. God is with us, and He will be victorious. May God grant that the interview with Bishop de Mitilini go well, and that His Excellency not be one of these fearful souls. I think the best thing would be to go ahead after first informing their excellencies, but for them to have no responsibility, as if they didn't know, and this to avoid the disadvantage of fear. Later on, seeing the success, they can then declare themselves and take part in it. As for what you tell me about the priest who is at Fatima, I also think that you must not be afraid of him. Thus for the seer, the camps are well defined, there are the supporters of the devil, completely devoted to his cause, and who work for evil with untiring ardour. There are the fearful and cowardly ones, who are afraid of compromising themselves. And then there are the faithful, the courageous ones who strive to hold on and resist. Sister Lucy exhorts them to be afraid of nothing because, she says, God is with us, and he will be victorious. We must place our trust in God and in Our Lady's protection. We are only very weak instruments in their hands, which they use for their glory, but fear must not prevent us from serving them for what they desire. The devil has succeeded in infiltrating evil under cover of good. On September 16, 1970, Sister Lucy wrote to a friend in religion, Mother Martins, who had been her companion at Tai, in the novitiate of the Dorotheian Sisters. She had just been sorely tried by illness. From what you tell me, I see that you have had much to suffer. This is the penance which our Lord asks of you now, and these penances which he sends us himself are the most painful ones. But they are also the ones which unite us the most to him, who was the martyr of sorrows. I too, was not feeling very well in my heart, my eyes, etc., but it is necessary to fill up in ourselves what is lacking to the passion of Christ. It is necessary that his members be one with him, through physical pain and through moral anguish. Poor Lord, he has saved us with so much love and he is so little understood. So little loved. So badly served. It is painful to see such a great disorientation and in so many persons who occupy places of responsibility. For our part we must, as far as is possible for us, try to make reparation through an ever more intimate union with the Lord, and identify ourselves with him that he may be in us the light of the world plunged in the darkness of error, immorality, and pride. It pains me to see what you tell me, now that that is going on over here. It is because the devil has succeeded in infiltrating evil under cover of good, and the blind are beginning to guide others, as the Lord tells us in his gospel, and souls are letting themselves be deceived. Gladly I sacrifice myself and offer my life to God for peace in his church, for priests, and for all consecrated souls, especially for those who are so deceived and misled. A long development follows on devotion to the Holy Rosary, and the great benefits it procures for souls. Then Sister Lucy concludes. This is why the devil has waged such a war against it. And the worst is that he has succeeded in leading into error and deceiving souls having a heavy responsibility through the place which they occupy. They are blind men guiding other blind men. The following year, in December 1971, again in a letter to Mother Martins, Sister Lucy expresses the same thoughts. Thus the little pamphlets, referring to a text on the rosary composed by Sister Lucy, will remain with souls, as an echo of Our Lady's voice, to remind them of the insistence with which she recommended the prayer of the rosary to us, so many times. It is because she already knew that there had to come these times, during which the devil and his supporters would fight so much against this prayer, to lead souls away from God. And without God, who shall be saved? For this reason we must do everything in our power to lead souls back to God. Let us conclude with a few passages of a letter of November 26, 1970, addressed to Don Umberto Pascal, an Italian Salesian devoted to the cause of Fatima for a very long time. The decadence which exists in the world is without any doubt the consequence of the lack of the spirit of prayer. Foreseeing this disorientation, the Blessed Virgin recommended recitation of the Rosary with such insistence. And since the Rosary is, after the Holy Eucharistic Liturgy, the prayer most apt for preserving faith in souls, the devil has unchained his struggle against it. Unfortunately, we see the disasters he has caused. We must defend souls against the errors which can make them stray from the good road. I cannot help them other than by my poor and humble prayers and my sacrifices, but for you, Father Umberto, you have a much more extended field of action to develop your apostolate. We cannot and we must not stop ourselves, nor allow, as our Lord says, the children of darkness to be wiser than the children of light. The rosary is the most powerful weapon for defending ourselves on the field of battle. These few excerpts from Sister Lucy's letters, all the more significant as she surely did not write everything she wanted, and as her writings are severely censored before publication, agree perfectly with what we have already said about the contents of the third secret. For her, the evil is not only in the world, plunged in the darkness of error, immorality, and pride. It is in the church, where the devil has his followers, and his supporters, who act with superhuman energy. It is not just a question of lukewarmness or pastoral negligence. Sister Lucy clearly shows that the faith itself is being attacked. She speaks of false doctrines, of diabolical disorientation, of blindness. And this among the very souls who have great responsibilities in the church, and whose mission is to guide the souls of the faithful. She deplores the fact that so many pastors let themselves be dominated by the diabolical wave invading the world, and are so many blind men leading other blind men. Could anyone better describe the crisis of the church, which has opened itself to a world, of which Satan is the prince? The question arises, would the seer have dared to employ such vigorous expressions if they were not a simple echo of revelations she had received, an echo of the prophecies of the third secret? For us, the answer leaves no doubt. The Blessed Virgin knew that these times of diabolical disorientation had to come. In effect, it is clear that Sister Lucy wants to suggest to us that, in 1917, Our Lady had announced, had foreseen the crisis of the faith, proposing her message as the anticipated response, the divine remedy for this menacing apostasy. Foreseeing this, present, disorientation, the Virgin recommended recitation of the Rosary with such insistence as the prayer most apt for preserving faith in souls. It is because she already knew that these times had to come, when the devil and his supporters would fight this prayer so much. She insisted so much as if to arm us in advance against this time of diabolical disorientation, so that we wouldn't let ourselves be fooled by false doctrines. These words of the seer are explained perfectly and take on all their significance, if on July 13, 1917, in her third secret, the Blessed Virgin announced precisely this diabolical disorientation which would suddenly invade the church, if her requests were not obeyed. The hour of Satan. The hour of Peter's great trial. And if the times we are living in are those of the power of darkness, the hour of Satan's final offensive against the Church of Christ, it is not astonishing that just as in the Gospel, this hour is also the hour of Peter's great temptation, and perhaps his fall as well. As Jesus said to Peter and the other apostles before leaving the cenacle, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have thee, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith might not fail, and do thou, when once thou hast turned again, confirm thy brethren." Peter told him, "Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death." But he said, "I tell thee, Peter, a cock will not crow this day, until thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me." LK 22:31-34. And a few verses down, in this same 22nd chapter of St. Luke, the account of the triple betrayal by the Prince of the Apostles follows immediately after our Lord's words addressed to Satan's henchmen, guided by the traitor, who had the audacity to arrest him, "But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Sed hec est ora vestra et potestas tenebrarum." LK 22:53-62. Indeed, we will provide additional evidence of this to complement Sister Lucy's insistent allusions to the diabolical wave sweeping over the world. It is very probable that the third secret of Fatima situates the deficiencies of pastors, and the great apostasy it announced, in the context of Satan's supreme battle against Christ, in the apocalyptic framework of the final struggle between the Immaculate Virgin and the infernal dragon.